afternoon. Welcome back. 5:06, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, the one and only Jeffrey Kuhner. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Andy.
All right, a couple things to get to. First of all, by now, you're well aware that CIA Chief David Petraeus has stepped down. He has resigned over an extramarital affair. Then we find out a couple of minutes ago, the CEO of Lockheed Martin has done the same thing. He's resigned. And now we're hearing through the grapevine that the CEO of Waffle House has had an affair. And I don't know what's in the water, but it appears we have a new weapon of mass destruction, and it's called mistresses. You know, I honestly, you know, it's bizarre.
No, Andy, I was, you know, it's funny. I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's not sleeping around on my wife? I mean, this is insane. Everybody's having an extramarital affair.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the twist here, though, with the CIA chief, you know, David Petraeus, General David Petraeus resigning, is that now suddenly he doesn't have to testify at the Senate Intelligence Committee set for next week, that closed hearing on the events in Benghazi. So you kind of have to wonder if there's any backstory to that particular resignation.
Andy, you nailed it. I mean, look, let me be perfectly candid. I don't like to engage in conspiracy theories. I don't like to engage in rumors. I really don't. I'm going to be very candid. Look, I take him at his face at face value. I take him at his word. I don't think he would make up an affair to cover up something. However, this happens on right after the election. Apparently, this affair had been going on for quite some time. And yet he chooses to resign right after the election. That, to me, number one, raises a red flag. Number two, and more importantly, this comes right before major congressional hearings next week on Libya, on Benghazi, and in particular on what the CIA knew and didn't know, and what they said and what they didn't say. And in particular, they laid out a timeline of events that happened that directly contradicted the White House's political narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, it was General Petraeus who said, hey, the order not to defend our compound when they were under siege did not come from any level of the CIA. You need to ask somebody else elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
So clearly pointing at the White House. So, Andy, as a journalist and as a columnist, I'm suspicious. I'm going to make more follow-up calls. I'm going to work my sources because I got a sneaking suspicion there's something more here than meets the eye. Now, technically, General Petraeus can still be ordered to testify.
Yep.
He's subpoenaed now as a private citizen and not as the head of the CIA. So, you know, in the end, the House Intelligence Committee is going to get information from him. But it does make it harder. And, Andy, the point I want to stress to all the listeners is, these congressional hearings next week, it's not a typical, ordinary hearing. Many people on the committee and even within the CIA admitted this is a blockbuster issue. This is as big to the credibility of the CIA as the weapons of mass destruction were when George Tenet was CIA director. This was a massive intelligence failure.
Mm-hmm.
Here we had Al-Qaeda kicking the CIA out of Libya. They came into the compound. Apparently, they've stolen a lot of our secrets that were there in the compound, and in particular, what we were doing to get Stinger missiles out of the hands of insurgents in that entire area. So this is a major scandal at the CIA. So suddenly, it's awfully convenient that General David Petraeus suddenly won't show up next week.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I want to go to your column today called Obama's America, Path is Clear for Socialism's Triumph, and one line in particular that stands out. The president has shown nothing but contempt for the Constitution. He is remaking America in his own image. Can Republicans stop him? That's the question. Can they do it?
Not with John Boehner. I think they can. Look, Andy, I think, yes, he won. I have to give him his due. He won. The problem is, though, he won with barely 2 million votes. We're now finding out that 3 million Republicans stayed home. Our base stayed home. Had they shown up, Obama would have lost. So we have a deeply divided country. Half the country voted for him. Half the country voted against him. And that half of the country that voted against him have their support in the Republican House. They speak for the other half of America. And so I think it's now incumbent upon the House Republicans to stand up to Obama's radical socialist agenda. And what is most disconcerting is Speaker Boehner, almost immediately after the election, said, Obama now has a mandate to lead. We want Obama to succeed. Well, with all due respect to the Speaker, we don't want Obama to succeed. Yes, we want the country to succeed. If Obama was a moderate, I'd want him to succeed. But he's shown his true colors. This is not a man who just got freshly elected in his first term. Mm-hmm. This is now his second term.
Yep.
We know what his goals and intentions are. And so it is now the role of the House Republicans to block Obama, to block amnesty, to block tax increases that are going to crush this economic recovery and crush the middle class. It is now up to the House Republicans to block the implementation of Obamacare as best as they can. So we're not there, or they shouldn't be there, to help him succeed. And Andy, what I think is going to happen is this. I'm already hearing a lot of rumblings among grassroots conservatives that they want Boehner out. Now, Boehner has to go through an election himself, through the Republican caucus, to be sworn in again as House Speaker. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see an insurgency. And the person I would like to see challenge Boehner, and I think dethrone Boehner, would be Paul Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ryan is the man to lead the conservative opposition. Ryan is the man to go head-to-head, toe-to-toe with Obama on the debt ceiling, on the budget, on deficits, on Obamacare. This is the man that I think can crush the president and stand up to his runaway spending and his radical agenda. And so what I'm going to try to do next week, Andy, is I'm going to try to talk to people in Ryan's camp and see if I can get enough information from them to write a column. And if I can, I will do everything in my power to spearhead a movement to have Ryan become the next House Speaker. Because if that happens, I think the showdown that you and I wanted, the clash of wills that you and I wanted between a Republican challenger and Obama, where Obama would be fully prosecuted, can happen not with a Romney candidacy, but with Ryan leading the opposition
in the House. Yeah, very interesting. One more question before I let you run out of here. How'd your first week go doing mornings on WRKO in Boston?
Andy, I enjoyed it. However, I have to say it is utterly exhausting. I'm up every day at 2 in the morning. I don't know how these morning hosts do it. Andy, I don't know how you and Fred did it.
I had 28 years.
Unbelievable. Andy, I'm telling you, man, I respected you before. I have a newfound respect for the great Andy Parks. And Andy, seriously, just before Anwar called for, you know, our usual interview, I was feeding Ava, and this has never happened to me before.
Yeah.
I just tired or fatigue or what it is. She jerked out on my left hand.
Oh, no.
And she was suspended in the air.
Oh, no.
I swear to you. And I literally caught her with my right hand.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. And that's fatigue.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I mean, Andy, buddy, I don't know how you did it. I mean, you are one tough son of a gun.
Listen, rest up this weekend. There's another week on the way.
Hey, God bless you, my friend.
All right, see you on Monday.
See you, man. Bye.
Jeff Cooner of the Washington Times.